where when these two young women first moved in together, the one roommate actually did ration out 3 tear-off sheets of toilet paper to each individual. Or the circumstances where, you know, now where are we going to put the heat? How hot are we going to heat this house in the winter? Now, if we go to 70, then it's going to cost us each $10 extra a month. If we leave it at 65, we can save money. Be cold, but save money. And you can just go round and round with these kind of things. Whitney Houston's song, The Greatest Love of All, Learning to Love Yourself. It is the greatest love of all. It's a beautiful song. It seems really wonderful, but I'm telling you, it'll destroy your relationships. To live by that philosophy will ruin your personal relationships with those that you love. And yet we see that continuation of continuing to look out for number one. Got to look out for number one. We've been looking at love the last 4 weeks. And today we're going to look at who's first, you or me. You know, that used to didn't be a problem. Years ago, I mean, you know, the golden rule. Everybody knew the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Today it's do unto others before they do to you. You know, I worked for a guy one time and he had a sign on his wall that says, to forgive, to err is human, to forgive is not my policy. He lived by that. He lived by that axiom. And we begin subtly to realize, if you begin to think about this little demonstration this morning, this really hits home. It hits home in my life. God has really been challenging me with His principles in this very thing in my own life. About 2, 3, 4 months ago, I think it was the middle of the summer, the beginning of the summer, my wife came and said, honey, I was wondering if we could, like, you know, spend more money on groceries. We have a budget. We try to live by that budget. Some people don't have budgets. Some people don't need budgets. You know, if they spend $300 in groceries, I mean, it doesn't make a dent in their million. You know, but we have to kind of operate on a budget. And so I have, of course, you know, I very seldom do the cooking or concern myself with that area. And my wife's really on top of that, you know, and she writes out all our menus and then she goes and she shops accordingly. So I'm always trying to think, you know, food, we just eat it, and it would always be nice to have money to buy something more tangible, you know. So she came one day, she said, Mark, I was wondering if we could, you know, like increase the food budget $5. I mean, you know, for an extra gallon of milk a week, a few extra goodies around the house, some snacks to give to the kids. And I said, well, they don't need the snacks. And an extra gallon of milk, I mean, milk isn't that good for you anyway, and I never drink any as it is. I mean, do we really got to raise the food budget? I mean, you know, we could put that towards, oh, a new basketball or a new softball glove or, oh, you know, a new shirt, but food? So she didn't say much more, and the next week she went to get groceries and spent what she usually spent, and she didn't have to say much more because God really began to talk to Mark. Say, you know, Mark, you're pretty stingy. What do you mean, God? I'm just trying to be faithful. I said, I mean, come on, Mark. You got a family here. Your wife knows better than you do what's going on. I mean, why don't you give the money? Just forget it. And you know, I began to come to a greater understanding of these principles. I began to realize, oh my goodness, that's really true. I need to do what pleases my wife. What would make my wife happy in this particular thing? You know, husbands, you know how it is. I don't know about you, but me. You go to get groceries. I go occasionally to get groceries for Kathy, take the kids, or I'll go pick up our staple items. Now, everyone knows that toilet paper and Kleenex is clean garbage. Okay, it's garbage that has not been used yet. But all you're going to do with it is throw it away. So the logical mind of man, this is what Brent's going to talk about this Wednesday, difference between the female mind and the male mind. The logical mind of man says it's just garbage. So get the stuff that leaves slivers in your nose. And it's only 49 cents a box. And, you know, my goodness, we can use it for more productive things like liver or beef heart, you know, or lentil beans. And so I go to the grocery store, and as I'd be walking down those aisles, I began to ask myself, you know, God began to still small voice, say, Mark, what would your wife buy if she was here? Well, God, I don't want to talk about that, God. Okay. I'm shopping today, and she's not. I said, well, Mark, what do you think that means, that let each one please his neighbor for his good to build heaven? I said, well, I don't really want to think about what that means right now, God. You know? So I'm walking down the aisle, and my wife's got this list of things that she needs, and I'm going along picking it out, and I get to the toilet paper and the Kleenex, and I really debated. And I stood there tapping my foot and looking at the cheap, looking at the not so cheap, and looking at the expensive. And, you know, the Charmin, the Northern, the Angel Touch, you know. I thought, oh my, well, the Angel Touch sounds heavenly. No, I'll get the Angel Touch. So we have two bathrooms in the house. I thought, I got a plan. I'll buy 6 packages for the upstairs bathroom, because that's the one the girls usually use mostly. And I'll buy the cheap ones for me downstairs. You know? And I thought, well, you know, I guess that's okay, but I have guests come, and well, they may not like that stuff either. You know, and softer usually is better. So, you know, I thought, my goodness, Mark, let's be generous with the toilet paper. So I start dumping in the toilet paper, you know, and dumping on the Kleenex, and debating between puffs with lotion or Sure Shine. You know the kind, or the generic with the black label. And you know how it is, you go to pull one out, and like they're all stuck together, you know. But who cares if you threw half away, you know, because you couldn't use them because they were all stuck. That doesn't matter, it was cheap. Well, those are some of my war stories. I have a lot more, but that's real for me, you know. Those are real decisions that you go back and forth, on. And in life, you have to decide. The first thing you have to decide is what principle are you going to live by? And then you've got to build your life around that. 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that love, we read this a few weeks ago, I'm going to read it this morning. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy and it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude and it is not self-seeking. I've thought about that, really meditated on that little thought. Love is not self-seeking. And I've had to wrestle with that little thought. Between me and God and the privacy of my heart, am I going to really live by that? Or am I just going to affirm that that's a neat passage in the Bible, but so unreal? I mean, you know, like so unreal. One of my recent tests that God has been using in my life, and it's been really neat to see how God has been, after He solidified this little mentality, all right, God, I'm going to live by, I'm going to pursue this. My wife became pregnant. And for those of you that aren't married, this is going to be hard to understand. For those of you who are, it should really hit home. When your wife becomes pregnant, all the clothes that she has, they don't fit anymore. It's as if they shrunk. And your wife begins to change. And you've got to go get more clothes. And my wife was getting to that point where, you know, you can only safety pin your pants so long, you know. And I began to think about this verse. Love does not seek its own. Thought, all right, if I were pregnant, what would I want and what would I do? So I just happened to be out running some errands one day. And I don't always do this, but I was out running some errands. And I thought, you know, I'm going to surprise Kathy. So I went to the maternity place, you know. And I bought all these matching little sweatsuits and these little turtlenecks, you know, and all this stuff. And I think it was $200 worth. And brought it home. And man, you should have seen the look in my wife's face. 3 years ago, I wouldn't have done something like that. I wouldn't have stood for it. We're going to Goodwill, you know. And that's what friends are for, you know. I mean, right? I mean, I can't help but you got pregnant, you know. So we're just gonna have to hold off on some of this stuff, you know, and you're only gonna wear it for 4 months, and then it's next time you're pregnant, it'll be out of style. The logical mind of man. Here we go again, you see. And so I began to think, well, you know, it would be more pleasing to God to honor Him and abide by this principle and love my wife than it would be to go round and round about, okay, we're gonna buy, get this one pair of pants here and wear it with everything. You know? But you think that's funny, but boy, those struggles really go on. Those kind of things really happen in relationships, and they just begin to tear you and tear you and tear you apart. But boy, have you ever seen there's a commercial on for the dating game. The newlywed game. The new newlywed game. And the wife, she's sitting in the chair by her husband. She goes, "Oh, my husband never has money. Never has any money. But boy, if he wants to go bowling, oh, he's got that $5 right there. Oh, he's got that $5 right there." Have you ever seen that little commercial? Just hilarious. How true that is. How true that is. It's that new rifle, that new fishing gear. Well, we got it. We got it. But a new set of dishes or the new lamp in the living room that we desperately need, well, that can wait. I need that new rifle. I need those new waiters. See, this really gets home. The Bible really hits close to home. And so we have something we've got to decide. We've got a decision we have to make. Is God's way best or is man's way best? Well, let's look at the track record. Let's look at the track record of relationships today. How successful are they? 50-50. And what is the normal philosophy of today? Do for yourself. Live for yourself. Love yourself. Make yourself happy because no one else is going to. It doesn't work. It just doesn't successfully work. But God, He's interested in you being successful. And if we're going to learn to have our relationships be successful, or your roommates, you know how this goes. I've talked to a number of you. Live together, the guys or the girls, you all live together. Man, the things that go on. I mean, you go into the grocery store together. And isn't it hard to trust one another? You're walking down the aisle, and your roommate's pushing the cart, and you've got the calculator, and you're kind of going through the menu, and you come to the meat section. Okay, well, I like turkey ham. Well, I like ham. I mean, I like the real stuff. Yeah, but you know, turkey ham's really a lot better for you. And it's a little cheaper. Well, okay, fine, the turkey ham. So then you go on a little farther. Now, beef bologna, if we're going to have bologna in the house, got to be the all beef kind. You know, just because it's made out of beef junk instead of pork junk. You know, it's not like it's made out of steak or nothing, you know. I don't know if you knew that. Anyway, beef bologna is just beef parts, and other bologna is just pork, beef, and everything parts. You know, it's kind of like McDonald's chicken nuggets. You know, parts is parts is parts. Just parts. It was funny. You know, I was driving home the other night from McDonald's and driving home from a conference. We stopped at McDonald's and I got one of their cheeseburgers. It was delicious. And I ordered some chicken McNuggets. I don't know why I was thinking chicken and their cheeseburger would go together, but I was just hungry. So I get these nuggets and I start to dip into my bite, and it's kind of, you know, the parts kind of go, bong, and snaps me, you know. You know? And I ate a couple more and I thought, oh, man. No more. Who wants my nuggets? Would anyone else hungry? Anyone else care for nuggets? I got thought for real quick. Let me tell you. Who wants some nuggets? Or, you know, you're going down the aisle for the bread. Now, bread is a classic one. Now, brown berry bread is my wife's favorite. Brown berry, or, you know, the heavy stuff. You know, guys, you know the heavy stuff. Get nuts in it. And all that kind of stuff's real heavy. And it's like $1.59 a pound. Now, logic tells us that Super America sells wheat bread for 29 cents a loaf. I don't know if you knew that. 29 cents a loaf. Why, we could just drive to Super America and buy 5 loaves for what we just paid for your brown berry bread. And white bread, may it never be. You know, white bread. Boy, these things start to come real close to home, don't they? And I've seen household situations that are torn apart. Just, well, what ends up happening is they each put a refrigerator in their own room. A portable one. You know, because they don't use too much electricity. So each person has a portable, and one has the chocolate milk, one has the skim milk, one has the grade A milk, the D milk, the 1% milk, you know. And the list can be endless. How are we going to overcome that kind of situation? Well, the way we've dealt with it today is simply, I don't care what you think. This is what I'm going to do, and it's tough if you don't like it. You know, it's my life. And it's my stomach, and it's, you know, my toothpaste. And so just keep your hands off, keep your mitts off, and let's live in peaceful harmony together. And then you get married. And it comes right into your marriage relationship, and the relationship with your families. It passes on to the kids, and the kids grow up getting married, and they're single before, and it passes on to them, and then it passes on to the marriage, passes on to the kid. And we have just this great big vicious cycle. Well, God has a way to break out of that. And I want to look at just 3 little principles that God has, and then just give you some tidbits that will really help you in your relationships with people. It will change your relationship. I'm just like you. I have had to go step by step in my own life, in my own relationship with my mate, my own relationship with my children, in order to grow in these areas. And I've not yet arrived. But I know where I'm going, and I know where my aim is. And you never hit the target if you don't know what you're aiming at. You'll always hit self. So the first thing, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the first little principle. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the third one is in Romans that says, let no one please himself, but please his neighbor for his good. And Philippians tells us that we should not concern ourselves with our interest, but with the interest of others. I was working with a guy at a dealership, car dealership. And his last name was Higgins. And he was a very, very good mechanic. All right? He was a very excellent mechanic. He was a terrible, terrible person. Awful. I've never met anyone like him in my life. And when he first started work, he proceeded for the next 9 months to make everyone's life absolutely miserable in that place. And here's how he would do it. There'd be guys up waiting for their parts. Now, and to get, because I worked behind the parts counter. And he would come up and he would actually push them out of the way, slam his fist down the counter, and say, blankety blank blank, I want my parts now. I got an 82, blah, 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 blah. And he'd walk off and leave, not give us any more information, and he'd want that part. And 3 or 4 minutes later, he'd be back swearing wondering where his part was. Well, the service man at this particular place was just like him, only twice as old. Okay? Just like him. So he admired that about Mr. Higgins. And he would give Higgy Piggy, as he began to call himself. Literally, that's how proud he was of it. Higgy Piggy. Higgy Piggy wants some work, Jerry. Higgy Piggy wants some more work. Wants gravy work. Now, you got to understand how mechanics work to understand how unfair this is. Okay? When you go in to take your car in to have it worked on, they have to have a standard in the industry. And the standard in the industry is that whatever it takes a man in the factory with non-power equipment, with turning wrench by hand to do a job, that's the book time. So if you go in for a front axle job and you need new boots and you need new CV joints, the guy in the factory, in order to come up with the equation, takes the nuts off the wheel by hand, not with a power gun, and then he takes everything else off by hand. Of course, it's all clean. You got no grease to work through. The guy in the shop uses tons of power equipment. So, he wants to get in as many hours in a 40-hour week as he can. That's how he makes his money. We work on commission. So, a book time hour, let's say it takes 2.5 hours to do this job, they can do it in 45 minutes. A lot of times. You pay for the full 2.5 hours. Okay? But it took him 45 minutes. So, this guy, he'd come up and go, Jerry, I've only got 65 hours in this week, and I need to get 5 more. I got kids, my wife's starving, and all these other guys around, you know. And I mean, it became so wild that, I mean, other guys were actually only getting 20 hours in a week. They actually weren't beginning not to even be able to make a living. And this guy's family would come in, and it was unbelievable to watch how he interacted with his family. And watch his kids just, they were the terror. No one even wanted to come because they'd be pulling out all the guys' toolboxes and playing their tools and dropping them in the drain and doing all kinds of weird stuff. All because of the selfishness of this dad. I was recently talking to someone, they don't live in this city, and they call me long distance, really stressed. And we're visiting with my wife. The wife was visiting with my wife. My wife related this to me. She said, I don't know what to do. I mean, my husband, we moved down here. He's going to school. We just had a new baby, and he is asking me to watch 4 other children all day. So I'm watching 5 kids a day. And he took, instead of working the job he was going to work, he just took a little, you know, part-time job at college. And he comes home every day and wants me to fix him lunch. But what I fix the kids isn't good enough for him, so I have to fix him a whole other lunch. And I asked, well, honey, can't you just take a sack lunch? Oh, no, I'm coming home for lunch. And then in the middle of the day, while I'm going crazy trying to watch these 5 kids, he'll come home, turn cartoons on, lay back and watch cartoons. Well, I tell you, a lot of people live life like that. A lot of people. And you wonder, is it no wonder that people don't stay together? There's no great mystery. There's no great mystery at all. Selfishness is a cancer. and it will destroy everything you touch. Everything. So I want to give you about 7 little principles that will be finished that will help you in your relationships with people. That will help you know how you can make your relationships last, how you can change. If your marriage relationship right now is really tense, this will change it. This will change it. The first one is, learn to use your natural needs such as thirst, hunger, tiredness as a reminder that those around you feel the same. How can you help them? I try to use those as natural reminders. I'll be down, maybe I've got the munchies, maybe I'm kind of hungry, and I always try to think to ask, honey, you want something to eat? Or the kids, hey, you want a snack? Or you guys thirsty? You would also do this with emotional things. You feel discouraged? Do you feel bummed out? Look around you. Start looking outward. Is my wife encouraged? Are my children encouraged? Do they know they're loved? Don't sit around in self-pity. Self-pity is just that. It's self-pity. It's pitying self. And it will destroy your relationships. And pretty soon people won't want to be around you. So use your natural needs. Secondly, learn to feel what others feel. Put yourself in their place. You know, this has really helped me with my wife. Because you got to understand, I never know what it's like to be pregnant. Okay? I can only imagine. But you know, husbands, boy, isn't it easy? Isn't it easy just to go, come on, it's just a natural thing. No problems here. Let's get through this thing. You know, what's the problem? You know how it is, your wife feels really ugly or really fat or all kinds of other things that she goes through when she's pregnant. It's just so easy not to feel that, not to be sensitive. And listen, I'm not a naturally sensitive guy. I've had to really and still have to really work on this thing and take these Bible verses and apply them to my life and go, I need some sensitivity here. My wife's craving a pickle, I'll go get her a pickle, man. I used to bring her Sundays home every night after Zap, yogurt Sundays. Just because I knew she liked him. If she wanted to save him this day, I didn't care. Those communicate, I feel and I understand. We need to learn to really put ourselves in another person's shoes if you're going to take on their interest. Take time daily to consider how you can meet the needs of those around you. You know, it's real easy to have a self mentality all day. You get up, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you put on your clothes, you go out to your car, and you go to your job. And you go to your desk. And you're working on your project. And it's real easy not to think about those you live with. Not to think about those around you. And I try each day to take time to have a permanent mindset of what do people around me need. And I'm not always successful, but that's my aim. I aim at that. How can I encourage my wife? What does she need? What do my children need? If they need coats, I don't think twice. We go get them. They need shoes, I don't think twice. We go get them. We go get them. If they need it, then I believe God's led me to go get it because I'm to meet their needs. And oftentimes it's before my own. That's the other thing. We don't just go out and buy me some and then them some. So it's all equal. A lot of times it's we buy them some and me none. Or my wife some and me none. Because either they're first or you're first. You don't come in as a tie. So you've got to remember, there are no ties in this. It's got to be a mentality. Learn to get interested in the things that our loved ones are interested in. Wives, your husbands are going to love football, most of them. So don't leave the room when football comes on. Watch it with them. Learn about it. When fishing season comes up and he takes off, well, go with him. I mean, maybe it won't make you put the worm on the hook, but go with him. You might enjoy it and you might get some time together. Husbands, you know, if your wife's got an interest, maybe it's in some project or some class she wants to take or something, she's get interested. Don't go, okay, well, you go do your thing and I'll go do my thing. Because you're just being selfish. Learn to enjoy or learn to find out a little bit about the things that your mate's involved in and you'll find it'll go a long way to giving you a really encouraging relationship. Often we forget that the thing that drew you together when you were dating was your mutual interest. The reason you don't have them anymore is because it's very easy to get selfish once the knot is tied. Very easy. Roommates, do the same thing. Learn to draw others out and find out what's going on with them and what they're learning and how you can help and what their interests are. You'll have a lot happier life. Learn to be generous. I think this is one big area that we need to really think about in both our marital relationship and our living situations with singles. The generous man will prosper. The Bible says that. God said that. I think about that regularly with my family, regularly with the people I'm with. Nobody likes a cheapskate. And cheapskates usually are only cheap, not because they're frugal, but because they want more money for them. By and large, it's not the only reason. We want to be good stewards. And I'm not saying here go out and just spend money to spend money. But learn to think in the terms of those people that are around you. Or let's not argue over food. Let's not argue over food. Let's not do that. It's not worth it. Someone wants to go out and buy microwave popcorn instead of the regular kind. Hey, that's great. It's quicker. No, don't argue about it. I don't think it's worth arguing about. Lastly, make others first your personal rule for loving. Remember that following the Bible will make you successful in your relationships. Make others first. That ought to be your motto. Others first. Others first. Others first. Always remember this. God made you, and God knows what will make you the happiest and the most fulfilled. God wrote this, and He wrote it not to squelch your life, but to allow you to really enjoy life. And I can say to you in all honesty that obeying these principles has made my marriage a wonderful situation. And has made my family life a wonderful situation. And it has made my relationships wonderful. And has made my life very enjoyable. It does not give me thrills to sit around and think about me, me, me. It's actually very depressing. Very depressing. God wants your life to be vibrant. God wants your life to be exciting. And He wants your relationships to work. And lastly, picture this in your mind. A husband who never thinks about himself, but always about his wife. And a wife who never thinks about herself, but always thinks about her husband. A roommate who never thinks about themselves, but always thinks about their roommate, and vice versa. Can you imagine what kind of relationship that would be? If we were trying to out... Did you know that it says in Romans to outdo one another in showing love? We ought to have contests. That's kind of how it ought to be. I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to love you more. I'm going to give more. You can't outgive me. I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more. I'm going to show more. I'm going to love more. I'm going to seek your interests more. Hey, if you want Charmin, that's fine with me. I don't mind the extra. That's great. Man, if you want to use the Dixie plates instead of the cheap generic ones that fall off and the spaghetti's on the edge, oh, that's fine with me. That's fine. If you want liquid Lux instead of generic green, pink stuff, you know, that's fine with me. You learn to live that way. And I guarantee you that you'll have a wonderful, wonderful life. And your relationships will be ones that really last. It starts with a determination to put others first and to take God at His word. Let's pray.